Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
He is Jay Croucher, I'm Matthew Berry, and before we get into today's Fantasy Football Happy Hour, we just want to take a moment here to extend our thoughts and our prayers, which seem inadequate, but, you know, it's what we have for everyone in Puerto Rico and Florida that have been affected by Hurricane Ian. Like, the numbers and the visuals that have been coming in are staggering. It was a Category 4 hurricane declared yesterday. Winds up to 150 miles an hour. Over 2.5 million people are without power. I'm sure even more people are stranded in their homes, or worse, having to flee their homes because their homes are literally being blown and washed away. There are images of flooded streets and destroyed homes. Reporters having to hold on to poles to not be blown away. People are scared for their lives. It is truly a death-defying, just an awful situation. And just on a personal level, the West Coast, the Southwest part of Florida is very meaningful to me and my family. I have a lot of family there. I have a lot of close friends there. It is where my wife and I, when we were dating, it was the first vacation we took. It is where my wife and I got engaged. It's home to us. We vacation there all the time. It's a beautiful area. And like I said, I have family that live there. I have friends that live there, and they are safe to the extent that I know. I mean, honestly, because cell service is down, like, you can't get a hold of anyone there. It's awful. And there are no words other than to say that we feel awful for them. And we wanted to acknowledge that before we got into today's business.
Yep.
And so anyway, there's no easy transition from talking about that to talking about fantasy football, but that is the job. It is worth noting that there were some questions about whether the Sunday night game between the Chiefs and Buccaneers, which was to take place in Tampa Bay, would in fact be played in Tampa Bay. But yes, we can confirm that it is going to stay in Tampa Bay. I know they explored other sites, including Minnesota. But as of now, it believes that the game will be played Sunday night in Tampa Bay. And we're all looking forward to the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. So I'm going to take one quick moment here, and then we'll come back and we'll do the love-hate show for week number 4 with Jay and I. But just wanted to send our thoughts and prayers and hopes to everyone that's affected by Hurricane Ian.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get to some less important stuff.
It seems dumb. Honestly, it feels dumb and insignificant to talk about fantasy football, talk about fake football with what's going on in the world and the images we saw yesterday and we're seeing today as well. It'll continue to be updated on NBC News and, wherever you get your news. But we're a fake football show.
We're a fake football show.
So let's talk about fake football.
A little brief, silly escape.
Yes.
The Roto-World headlines. Jameis Winston, who has a transverse fracture in his back, he did not practice on Thursday after not practicing on Wednesday. And then Michael Thomas, another malady, his toe, he did not practice Thursday either. My question to you is Andy Dalton a streaming option? If he's playing, what are you doing with Andy Dalton?
You like the matchup with Minnesota. They're 29th against the pass over the last four, since the start of the season. But he's Andy Dalton.
Is he
a streaming option in a one quarterback league? I don't think he is. But do I think if you're sitting there sifting through the Joe Flaccos of the world, of the Marcus Mariotas of the world, if you're down that deep, then yeah, I think he potentially could be. I would feel better about him if we knew Michael Thomas was playing, and we're not going to know. Here's the positives, if there is any. This is the London game. It's Saturday morning at Sunday morning at 9:30. So we'll know who Andy Dalton has available to him if Michael Thomas is going to play. Jarvis Landry did return to practice today, so that's good news for the Saints and that offense. I'd rank him somewhere in the low teens. So I think he's a lower end QB2. But yes, if he has Michael Thomas back, given the matchup and that he's practiced all week with the ones, I think he's a viable, like, you can live with it flex option. But he's not certainly someone to run to the waiver wire to grab. He's a if you're desperate option. I will say, though, if Michael Thomas misses, that would alleviate some of the concerns I have about Chris Olave, because let's face it, Andy Dalton ain't Jameis Winston.
No.
And that is damning with faint praise.
He
doesn't throw it deep. He's not. Winston is the perfect quarterback for Olave.
Yep.
And so I think if Dalton were under center, you're probably still starting Olave, but you wouldn't be as excited about this matchup as you might be if Winston went under center and no Michael Thomas. You'd be like, hey, we're all in on Olave. By the way, Olave made the love list this week.
Yep. And Olave, he has, of all the high-volume wide receivers in the NFL, he has the highest average depth of target of everyone. We think that's pretty inextricably linked to Jameis Winston, so it'll be interesting to see if he has another dimension if it is Andy Dalton at quarterback. But hopefully Jameis can play. Now,
But something to watch out for if Jameis is your quarterback, who is a viable streamer this week against the Saints, if he's active tomorrow, will be an important day as well.
Yep. Okay, another quarterback with a back issue, Tua Tagovailoa, back and ankle issue. He's questionable for week 4 against the Bengals, but there now is the expectation that he will play. The betting market has been moving towards the Dolphins. It's been gone from Bengals -4.5 to now Bengals -3.5. So expecting that Tua will play, I assume we're just loading up Tua just as normal and starting him against the Bengals defense. That is fine, but not super intimidating.
The Joe Flacco torched.
Yes.
Right. I think any competent quarterback, and Tua is a competent quarterback, competent quarterback that has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to throw to, you like. You don't love the fact that he's missed some practice. You don't love the fact that they're traveling on a short week after playing, you know, that insane game last week. But, yes, I would not, if Tua was my only quarterback and he's active, you're starting Tua Tagovailoa against the Cincinnati Bengals as well. It's been even though Cincinnati has, you know, they gave up all those yards to Flacco, the fact is that opposing quarterbacks are averaging under 10 fantasy points a game to opposing quarterbacks. You know, I'm confusing Cincinnati and Cleveland. Joe Flacco actually struggled against them last week. In week 3, I'm confusing the
Brown,
I'm getting my guys mixed up here. Candidly, I'll be honest with you, I was up all night watching hurricane footage. I'm dead serious about that. You know, I have a ton of family there, and so it was just super worrisome. And so, anyway, back to Tua. What I would say is that I think you're starting Tua, but I would lower expectations. He's not somebody that I would play in DFS unless you're on a one-game slate kind of thing. So lower expectations, but still have him as a borderline QB1 in this matchup against the Bengals.
Yep, I'm with you on
what's
that.
What's interesting is a buddy of mine has this rule. I'm curious as you, as our betting expert here, what you think of that. But my buddy is like, anytime after week 3, we are in week 4. Anytime after week 3, when you see a team with a losing record giving points to a team with a winning record, you take that, even if it's ugly. And so there's 3 games this week where that qualifies, right? And so the Bengals, despite having a losing record, are actually the favorites against the 3-0 Dolphins. The Rams, which have a winning record, are underdogs to the 1-2 49ers. And the Raiders, the winless Raiders, are favorites against the 2-1 Broncos.
Yeah,
so I kind of like the Rams, the Broncos, and the Dolphins.
Okay.
With the points in any, are you with me on this theory?
I'm 100% with you on the Rams. I think that's the most wrong line of the week. I would have the Rams -1 in that game. I do think Dolphins, Bengals, I think these two teams are very evenly matched. It's just all the ancillary factors go in the Bengals' favor. Short week home team, more home field advantage on a short week as travel and rest and all that. Rookie head coach on his first short week as well in Mike McDaniel. Everyone on the Dolphins is banged up. Tua, Jalen Waddle, he's got a groin. Teron Armstead. So I do think that the Bengals will be my side, but I don't hate the Dolphins plus 3.5 for the reasons that you
which
said.
Which I just said, to be clear, all of us have a groin.
Yes.
I mean, I know you said Jalen Waddle has a groin. True. I don't want anyone to think
slightly
that,
less of a groin right now.
Fair. I'm just saying. I want to be – research has confirmed that, in fact, that, you know, Jalen Waddle is not unique in having a groin.
Very good.
But he does have an injury to his groin.
Has lots of body parts that often get hurt is Christian McCaffrey.
Yes,
and we talked a lot about M. Night Shyamalan yesterday for kind of 7 minutes of the 60-minute show. And Christian McCaffrey is Mr. Glass from Unbreakable, where he's constantly going down. Are you worried about Christian McCaffrey? Because I will say that, yes, people pop up on the injury report. This one seemed a little bit more worrisome than usual.
It's worrisome just because it's him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and he made the joke. He's just like, he goes to the bathroom and it shows up on the injury report. But yeah, that's what happens when you are the best player in fantasy football and you've missed as many games in the last 2 years as Christian McCaffrey has. Because prior to that 2-year stretch, CMC was a guy that literally was never on the injury report. Like, never missed a practice, never missed a game. You know, college and in the NFL and then the last 2 years have been brutal. So it's a thigh injury this week. Last week he got placed in the injury report with an ankle, but ended up playing against the Saints. And so eyebrows raised, I'm aware. But if I had to pick a Panthers running back, if CMC were to miss, give me Deontay Foreman, who I think is just the better running back than Chuba Hubbard. Now, Chuba Hubbard, obviously, you know, filled in for last year McCaffrey, but I just think Foreman's the better running back. Hubbard's probably the closer fit to what McCaffrey's style is, but I just think Foreman's the better running back and the better chance at a touchdown if McCaffrey were to miss. But let's see how today goes. I'm not panicking just yet. Again, I think it's important to him to shed that injury-prone label, and so I think that if it's 50-50, my guess is he goes.
Yeah, the two guys, the two big superstar running backs who had the injury-prone tag coming into the season were Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. To me, McCaffrey's always been a lot more concerning because Saquon's injuries, like, he tore his ACL. Mm. That's not a recurring thing, whereas McCaffrey had his shoulder sprain and the ankle and now the soft tissue of the thigh, so it is a little bit of a concern. Now, the Seahawks, they placed Travis Homer on injured reserve, which, in a nutshell, doesn't seem super relevant or exciting, but he played 22 snaps against the Niners in week 2, and this should be good news for Rashad Penny and Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it feels like they haven't wanted to commit to either guy on third down. I'm hoping that it becomes Kenneth Walker. I know they're excited about Kenneth Walker in Seattle among the coaching staff, and Penny can catch passes as well. But yes, I suppose if there is a beneficiary, if you will, to Travis Homer going on IR, it's DJ Dallas, who, you know, played all the snaps in the two-minute drill and most of the third downs when Homer went out. Saw 15 total snaps. Rashad Penny got 49, though. You know, again, if you are starting a running back this week at Detroit, and I could see that being viable, by the way, I think it's Rashad Penny. So it's worth noting that, you know, maybe he gets a little bit more work, and maybe this opens the opportunity with a full week of practice to get Kenneth Walker, who is a rookie, some more reps in doing some of the third down stuff. So, anyway, I don't know. I don't think there's a big fantasy impact to this. Probably. But it was very important to Stephen D'Agostino.
You really wanted to get Travis Homer in there.
I don't know. Most of the show, I'll just be clear to America, most of the show is for you guys. A little bit of it is for me and Jay. And then, like, about 2 or 3 minutes is for our producers to just do whatever it is they want. This one was for Steven. I don't know who's like the world's craziest Travis Homer fan.
Travis Homer. Okay, now probably more relevant development. Low bar to clear, but Michael Gallup, who tore his ACL in January, starting to look like he is going to play against your Commanders. Now, what are we doing with Michael? What are we doing with Michael Gallup? And maybe more importantly, what are we doing with Noah Brown?
I think what we're doing is we're continuing to roster both. I think that Noah Brown is still potentially interesting this week in leagues and where you've been playing him because, again, we don't know how many snaps Michael Gallup's going to play. There's clearly a connection between Cooper Rush and Noah Brown. And let's be clear, my Commanders can't stop anything.
No.
Right? You know, they can't stop the music. they can't stop dancing. You know, they can't stop anything. And so Michael Gallup, you know, in a game in which he probably, they try to ease him back in, Noah Brown, who has 213 yards and a touchdown this season, 15 of 21 targets through three
21
games.
21 targets.
I mean, like, it's seven true. Targets a game.
Yeah.
Did that math in my head, by the way.
Yeah.
21 games, 21 targets, three games, just boom. Like, you're like, oh, Barry, are you a genius? Maybe. Not for me to say. Not for me to say. Some people are saying it, not me, but some people have said that.
It has been said.
It has been said.
Yes. In the hallways of Stanford.
In the hallways of Stanford.
Michael Gallup.
Yeah. He's a genius. How did Barry get paid by this company to, yeah. to be the
21 divide 3,
analysis.
Baby.
Yeah. Right.
Gallup had over 100 targets in 2019, yeah. 2020. He was on pace for a similar amount last season, but he missed all the time. Like, this is a real wide receiver, but I do think that with Noah Brown, the way that he has played is going to mean that Gallup gets more eased in gradually just because they've got the guy who has performed. So I would still be playing Noah Brown.
I would, too. I have Noah Brown ranked higher than Michael Gallup this week. So, again, right, if you're picking somebody. But I do think Michael Gallup, who's not rostered in 100% of Yahoo leagues,
yeah, he's gotta be.
Needs to be.
Yep.
He needs to
particularly
be.
With Dak Prescott coming back. Potentially yes. in the next 2 weeks.
Correct.
Now, Wandale Robinson, who's kind of been in your stable. You're a Wandale guy.
I'm a Wandale guy.
He didn't practice on Wednesday. Are we a little bit concerned about Wandale? And also, what are we doing about the Giants pass catcher situation? Can I interest you in any Richie James?
You cannot interest me in any Richie James. Two first names, though, always a crowd pleaser. I suppose, against the Bears, like, maybe, you know, I think Wandale Robinson is the one guy for me. I know we've seen it from Kadarius Toney, but it just seems like he can't stay on the field. Doesn't seem like he has the confidence of the current coaching staff. Wandale Robinson is the one guy that I would probably grab and stash as a flyer. I'm not starting him this week, even if he plays. Doesn't look like he's on pace to do so. He's starting to do a little bit of work. I would want to see it first, but I do think there's upside because there's going to be targets available in a competent offense. The Giants' offense isn't great, but it's competent. It's competent enough that Saquon Barkley is the number one running back in fantasy, right? And they're going to have to throw it somewhat. So Wandale Robinson, who's kind of a gadget player who they can find different ways, whether it's, you know, backfield sweeps, whether it's quick slants, they'll manufacture ways to get Robinson the ball once he's out there and he has the confidence of his coaching staff because this was their pick this year. The coaching staff and the new regime there. So, yeah, I like Wandale Robinson as somebody to grab and stash, but not necessarily play in week four.
Richie James is the number one wide receiver on the Giants right now by default in 2022. Richie James, number one wide receiver. All right, let's get in.
I'm the number one fantasy analyst on the show. Like, I mean, like, you know, like.
Number one mathematician.
Like, right. Not, I mean, like, it's like, sure. I mean, like, you know, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I guess he is, right? You know, like, you're the number one Australian on this show.
That's
like,
true.
Like, what? I mean, like, okay, sure, but.
You're the number two Australian. All right,
that's
running
true.
Back.
I am a co-author of Crocodile Dundee in
yes,
Los Angeles.
That's true. That gives you more Australian equity than me.
I have 100%.
All right, let's get into running back love, hate.
Yeah.
All right.
Look at that fancy graphic.
Love. Another guy who you keep going back to the well on, Alvin Kamara, makes your list again. Let's just have a running spot on Alvin Kamara in the love list.
I'm going to be
Why
right
you
eventually.
Love him this week?
Like, if you keep putting him on there, eventually I'll be right. I get it. I understand it. If you're like, I'm done. I hear you. It's been frustrating. But if ever there was a week Alvin Kamara, I believe this is it, right? So all three games that the Vikings have played this year, they've allowed 85 or more scrimmage yards to the opposing running backs. Jameis Winston either isn't going to play or is less than 100%. Michael Thomas also has missed practice. We talked about at the top of the show. So it feels like this is a great game to focus the offense on Alvin Kamara, right? I mean, Vikings bottom 10 in the NFL in both rushing yards and receptions allowed to opposing running backs. Kamara has seen 73% of the running back carries and an almost 16% target share. So it's not like he hasn't been getting the ball when he's been out there. He's played two games this year. It's the fact that, you know, it just hasn't been productive so far. But in this matchup, I feel like it will be. I'm back in on Alvin Kamara. I am as a top 10 play. He makes the love list this week. Let's go, AK-47. I'm in.
There's a betting term or a strategy called the Martingale strategy where whenever you lose, you just double down.
Yeah, sure.
You just double your stake. It's not a very responsible strategy, not something that should be done, but you're martingaling with Alvin Kamara. I like it. I do think if you have Alvin Kamara, you kind of want Andy Dalton to start, honestly, because Jameis has been highest average depth of target in the league, like we were talking about yesterday. No more Trent Dilfer Jameis. He's back to full Jameis, baby.
Full Jameis,
baby. He's not it's not congruous with Alvin Kamara. It's a dump off to a running back.
Give me a dump off Dalton.
Yeah, dump off Dalton. There you go.
You know, he's no longer the red rifle. He's kind of the red pop gun. Yeah. He's kind of like the red pea shooter.
Dump off Dalton.
Yeah, dump off Dalton. Yeah, Let's go, baby.
Yeah. All right, Khalil Herbert.
Yes, sir.
He makes the love list as well. Obviously, an incredible performance. Filling in for David Montgomery. I'm pretty sure he's the best running back in Chicago. I'm not sure if they've been really close, but he makes the love list this week.
Khalil Herbert, two first names, always a crowd pleaser. Two last names as well. Because Khalil and Herbert are both last names, but Herbert's also a first. Like, yeah. Anyway, a lot
Same
going on
Same case could be
there.
Made for Richie James, but that's okay.
The fact is that when Khalil Herbert has gotten time, he's been productive. He started two games last year, 18.8 fantasy points per game, averaging 22 touches in those two games. Last week, obviously, the 22 touches, 169 total yards, two touchdowns, more yards and fantasy points than Dave Montgomery has ever had in a single game this season. Now, Montgomery has yet to be fully ruled out for Sunday, but the expectation is that he will not play, and Khalil Herbert will get the start against a Giants team that has allowed the third most rushing yards to running backs this season. I'm in on Khalil Herbert. He makes the love list. I'm as a top 10 play this week.
He's just really good. Yards after contact per attempt, he leads the league. And I think the much maligned Chicago Bears offensive line, it's actually a really good run blocking unit. They can't pass block to save their life, but for whatever reason, really good at run blocking.
But if you don't pass, you don't have to block for the pass.
Yeah, genius.
Everyone's making fun of Eberflus, but you know. Right?
He's playing
don't
chess.
Don't have to pass block. He's playing chess. We're all playing checkers. Exactly right. They're 2-1.
They are 2-1.
Say what you want. The Bears are 2-1.
So are the New York Giants.
So are the New York football Giants.
One of these teams is going to be 3-1 after this week.
By the way, so the Panthers, right? The Panthers are 2-1, right?
No,
they're
1-2.
They're 1-2.
They could easily be 2-1, though.
They should be 2-1.
They could be 3-0. So they're just playing bad teams. Now, a team that really should be 2-1 is the Detroit Lions, but they blew the end of the Minnesota game. A tough loss for the Dan Campbell, coach of the year backers like myself, but Jamal Williams, a bright patch, and someone who is going to get a lot of work if DeAndre Swift can't go. He's on the love list.
Do we have footage of me doing the Jamal Williams hip thrusting dance from yesterday? We don't? Good. Fantastic. Please burn it. What I will tell you about Jamal Williams is that when he's gotten work, he's been really, really good. Through 3 weeks so far this year, he's averaging 15.9 fantasy points per game, 22 touches, 170 yards. Now, he had the two touchdowns, that was and two touchdowns in week three. A lot of his fantasy value has been because he's been vulturing DeAndre Swift, but when he has gotten time, he has been productive. And what's most importantly is we expect this offense has been a lot better than I think a lot of people gave them credit for, the Detroit Lions, which means they're in scoring position often. And I think you will win a bar bet here if you are asked, who is tied for the lead in the NFL among most goal-to-go carries? And the answer is Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
He has 7. He's tied for the most in the NFL. Good matchup here with Seattle. Seahawks have allowed the second most rushing yards to opposing running backs. They've allowed 100 or more scrimmage yards to a running back in all three games this year. You can run on Seattle. And so, assuming DeAndre Swift does not play in this game, Jamal Williams is a top 10 fantasy running back this week. You'll see some Craig Reynolds mixed in, but yeah, I'm all in on Jamal Williams this week.
Yeah, I mean, how many true three-down workhorse backs are there in the NFL? And Jamal Williams, he will be that guy if DeAndre Swift is out. I mean, I think it's Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, if he plays JT, Ekeler, Chubb. And then Jamal Williams has as good an argument for sixth as anyone.
I have him right now. I am just outside my top 10, to be clear, Jamal Williams. But that's because there's still a chance. There's still, you know, talk that Swift may play. So, but assuming Swift immediately gets ruled out, Jamal Williams will move up a few spots.
Okay,
anyway, he's a borderline RB1 this week. Others receiving votes, just some guys that I think are interesting. Devin Singletary. Look, last week saw some signs of life, right? Played on 75% of the snaps in week three. Set career highs in targets and receptions. Ravens allow the third most receptions to the position. So, again, if he's getting that passing down involvement, it bodes well for him against Baltimore. Breece Hall, somebody we didn't love. His first appearance, didn't love his ADP in the preseason at all. But now that he's on rosters, the fact of the matter is that he's got almost 14% target share so far this season. He's averaging over 5 yards a carry. Steelers, bottom 10 in the NFL in yards per reception allowed to running backs. What's nice about Breece Hall is he's been involved in the passing game so far. As I mentioned, a 14% target share for the Jets, over 60 scrimmage yards in all three games this year. It's Ramondre Stevenson, like season,
That's poorly done. I don't like that.
Pretty much everything I do is poorly done. Welcome to the show. Thanks for paying attention. 16 touches, 100 yards, and a touchdown last week on four targets for Ramondre Stevenson. Played 62% of the snaps, Packers allowing 5.4 yards per carry to opposing running backs with Brian Hoyer under center. We expect a heavy rushing attack. And again, Stevenson over Harris for me. He's playing more snaps. I think he's the better running back, and he's the more versatile one as well. And we already talked about this Detroit Lions-Seattle Seahawks matchup here, especially from Seattle's point of view. No Travis Homer in this one. Maybe a little bit more work for Rashad Penny, who's already played on nearly 70% of snaps in two of the three games so far this year. Detroit has allowed an NFL-high 6 rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs this year. Good chance. I don't know what the odds are off the top of my head. I bet you do on BetMGM. But Rashad Penny, anytime touchdown in that game, give me that bet.
We can get that, particularly if it's over even money, which I suspect it will be. I like that. Okay,
yeah.
Let's go negativo. Hate list.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders, who again is a staple on this
he's
list.
He's the poster boy for it.
I'm curious about this one because he's had 45 attempts, rushing attempts through three games.
Yeah.
75% of their attempts last week. I guess it's because the Jags have a really good rushing defense.
It is as well. So you mentioned, he's been really good, right? What do you think he ranked last week?
I'm guessing not that high to follow on with your little bit here.
Thanks for playing along. Yeah. He was running back 51 last week.
Okay.
On the season, he's running back 23.
Yeah.
Like, everything that the Eagles have done this year has gone awesome.
Yes.
They've been crushing people left and right. He's been getting a lot of work, right?
You almost crushed that cup.
Yeah, I almost did, but I didn't. He has gotten the majority of work on an offense that is rolling people.
Yep.
And he's running back 23. Like, it's as good as it's getting. And so you mentioned the fact that, Jacksonville has tied for the fewest rushing yards allowed to opposing running backs this season. They've given up no touchdowns. They've given up 3.6 yards per carry. Jonathan Taylor and Austin Eckler. You've heard of both those guys, right?
Good football players.
Thank you very much. Those two guys combined against the Jaguars combined for 59 rushing yards.
Yep.
Jonathan Taylor and Austin Eckler couldn't get over 60 yards combined between the two of them, and now Miles Sanders is going to do it? And you say, he'll be a part of the passing game because Jacksonville does struggle there. Fair enough. Jags have allowed the most receiving yards to opposing running backs this year. I hear you. Fine. Gotcha. Oh, wait. You look a little bit deeper at this. He's averaging 2.2 yards per target so far. He's got 4 targets for the year. He's got 13 total receiving yards, Miles Sanders. 13 receiving yards in 3 games. The problem is that it's not a part of their offense. I feel like they preferred Kenneth Gainwell in the passing down back role on that Eagles offense, and that when there is pressure and a lot of quarterbacks would dump off to the running back, Jalen Hurts has the ability to be like, no, and I'm going to just start running, right? So, Miles Sanders back on the hate list, deservedly so. Let's be clear about that. Yeah. Cam Akers on the hate list. Sean McVay expressing confidence in him. He had that bad fumble. He's like, I still would have gone back to him. Just because Sean McVay went back to Cam Akers doesn't mean you have to. I'm just sitting here and telling you this right now, right? Since he returned from his injury, including the playoffs last year, he's averaging 6.4 fantasy points per game. He's had under 11 fantasy points in all 8 games since returning from that injury. He's playing the Niners, which is a top 5 run defense so far this year, allowing under 3 yards per carry to opposing running backs. He's going to split time with Darrell Henderson. Even if the timeshare has shifted in his direction, Henderson's not going away. So you're in a timeshare with a good running back against a very good defense. I'm out on Cam Akers. He's outside my top 30 for the week.
Last week was the first time in 8 tries that he'd average over 3.7 yards per carry. So it hasn't been going great for Cam Akers, but Sean McVay seems to really want to give him the ball and give him every chance to fix things. All right, yeah. J.K. Dobbins makes the hate list
last week he got a touchdown and he still was running back 30.
Yep. San Francisco defense is about as good as it gets against the rush as well. Okay, J.K. Dobbins on the hate list. Just because he's just not going to play that much.
And he's playing Buffalo, right? Bills tied for the fewest rushing yards allowed to opposing running backs so far this season. He played under 50% of the offensive snaps last week, as you see the graphic here for those watching on Peacock.
Cam Akers type numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Against the rush this season, the Rams, Titans, and Dolphins all averaging under 3 yards per carry. And those are all 3 teams that can run the ball. And they all struggled against Buffalo. He's not being used in the passing game yet. He was running back 45 last week. I'm at 35 this week. I don't know. I want to see it before I'm ready to be all in on J.K. Dobbins.
It's about as tough of a spot as you can have for a guy coming off a serious injury in his second game back. Now you've got to play the Buffalo Bills. The Ravens are still three-point underdogs in that game, so expecting they won't be running it too much. Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, some pass catches. Wide receiver, love, hate.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The NFL season is here, Matthew Berry, and the NBC Sports Predictor app is giving you a shot at winning $100,000 by entering Sunday Night 7's free contest between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. So if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app, go download it now.
Well, I got a chance to win $100,000 for free?
For free.
And all I got to do is download the Sunday Night 7, the NBC Sports Predictor app, and play the SNF Sunday Night 7 game?
That's 100% correct, Matthew.
And I get $100,000 for free?
$100,000 for free. No risk.
Wow.
Yeah. In the gambling space, we call that a good play.
That's a good play.
It's a good play.
What am I doing here? Am I eligible to win?
You can win. You can play.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can do it.
I don't think I am, actually. I would read the clock because I'm an NBC employee. Okay. I'm an NBC Universal full-time employee. I'm almost positive I can't win.
Okay, that's sad. Not sad.
This is why I'm sad. Should I quit my job and do nothing but play Sunday Night 7 and win that 100 grand?
That would be going all in. Be going all in. All right. I like it. See you later, Matthew Berry. All right. Wide receiver.
Yes,
love,
sir.
Hate. Now, the first guy on your love list is CD Lamb, which I understand completely. My question to you, you're a Commanders fan, apparently.
Yeah, hail the Commanders, hail victory.
The Washington Commanders in 2020, the year that Alex Smith took them to the playoffs, they had the second best pass defense in the NFL. Mm. They don't have the second best pass defense in the NFL anymore. It was 28th last year by DVO. It's 28th right now.
Yeah.
What the hell has happened?
Jack Del Rio should not be.
What's happened?
Jack Del Rio has not done a good job with this defense. I mean, be honest. I mean, numbers are numbers. You know what I mean? Like, all due respect to the guy, but, like, they've been bad, and they've been bad for a while. And Ron Rivera is a loyal guy, but I think he's been too loyal to Jack Del Rio, is the unfortunate truth of the matter is. Listen, your secondary helps when you get a pass rush and losing Chase Young.
Yep.
That does not help, right? I mean, having a big pass rush certainly helps your secondary. But they have some real guys on that line still, and just – all of it. Just the scheme is wrong, and they're getting outcoached week in and week out. If ever there was a week to not get outcoached, it's this week with Mike McCarthy. But the fact of the matter is that whether it's Dak Prescott or Cooper Rush under center, the floor has remained insanely high with CeeDee Lamb, who's had double-digit targets in all three games so far this year. Almost a 40% target share in the two games that Cooper Rush has started, including averaging 18.9 fantasy points per game. To your point about my Washington Commanders, they are bottom five in the NFL in catches allowed, yards allowed, touchdowns allowed to opposing wide receivers. Pick a stat, Jay, and they're near the bottom of the NFL in almost all of them. So now do you ask me why should Jack Del Rio still have a job? I don't know.
Speaking of M. Night Shyamalan, when you talk about the Washington defense, it's like when Bruce Willis finds out he's dead at the end of The Sixth Sense.
Whoa! Spoiler alert!
No, it came out in 1999.
What? Spoiler alert! People haven't seen it.
People haven't seen The Sixth Sense? Well, that's on them.
I'm sorry. We're alive. bleep that, Steven, bleep that for the re-airs and the...
Came out the same year as Fight Club, and Brad Pitt's not real in that movie.
Oh, God, you're killing us here.
That's it.
What an asshole. What are you doing?
1999.
I don't care.
2022
now. Spoiler.
Come on. All right. Michael Pittman. Transition.
God.
Michael Pittman. He's had nine...
I'm going to come over on the holidays and talk to your kids about a bunch of stuff.
Was Kevin Spacey Kaiser Soze? The Usual Suspects?
I'm not saying. I'm not saying who is anything. Stop, you animal. Good God. So mean. Nothing's worse than people who spoil stuff.
I'm not going to spoil anything from the 21st century.
I don't. Whatever. In a world of streaming, we've got young kids. They haven't watched it.
My young kids are watching Fight Club. We're in
trouble. You know what? Guess what? So let me. You know what you just did? M. Night Shyamalan has one freaking good movie. He's got one. He had a 25-year career with one good movie, and you just ruined it.
I want to ruin it.
You just ruined it because once you know how that movie ends. The movie sucks.
Exactly. It's a one-trick pony.
But you just ruined it for people who hadn't seen it yet.
Like
there's a whole new audience of people that... God.
Sixth Sense. I think Unbreakable's better than you give it credit for. And I think the masses would be with me on that. I think he's got 1.5
Put up a
movies.
Poll. Let's do a poll. I'm done.
Speaking of one good thing on one thing, Michael Pittman is the one good wide receiver on the Indianapolis Colts. He's had 9 and 13 targets in 2 games. That's a Cooper Kupp type workload. He's on the love list.
He
still rattled about success.
I am. I'm buggered by it. I'm upset.
Buggered.
You know, I am,
the,
you know,
like Los Angeles script.
All right, Michael Pittman. To your point, you know, find somebody who looks at you the way Matt Ryan looks at Michael Pittman. 25% target share in both games that Pittman has played, 8 or more receptions in both games. Nice matchup here with the Titans, right? As Tennessee has allowed the most touchdowns to opposing wide receivers this season, the 4th most yards to opposing wide receivers as well. Give me Michael Pittman as a top 13 play this week.
Yeah. I don't think people properly value and appreciate Michael Pittman way that you appreciate spoiler alerts, but because it's Jonathan Taylor's
offense. Am I wrong on this, guys? Just like in the get in my ear. Like, camera guys are back. Like, everyone in the crew is like, give me a thumbs up.
Cam's
like,
walking around in circles.
stage manager, research. Like, everyone here in the studio is just like, what an animal you are, Jay.
It's a 20 year.
Is it, let me ask you this. Is it an Australian thing to be an asshole, or is it just a Jay thing?
It's just a Jay thing. The statute of limitations on spoilers expires after 2 decades.
I disagree. We are living a world of streaming. You have kids that are growing that have never seen these movies. Like, my kids have not seen that. Like, you know what? Don't.
Can we talk about, like, Luke Skywalker's.
No, don't say anything. What are you doing?
Okay.
No. I'm not going to tell you who Luke's father is.
Yeah.
Just, there's 3 movies there, and at some point, Luke's father gets revealed. That's all you need to know.
It's an incredible moment as well.
Yes!
I won't spoil that one. Yeah, one of the great film moments.
And I'm not even going to tell you what I'm binging, because I binge stuff out of order.
Find out.
And then you'll ruin it for me.
Yeah.
The worst. You're the worst. That's awful.
All right.
That's awful. You probably take candy from kids. You know who else is on the love list? Somebody. You know who's an anti-Jay Croucher? Is Gabriel Davis.
Okay.
I'm back in on him.
Again?
Here's the thing. Well, I've never left. We've talked about the Ravens secondary, Jay, and how much they've struggled. They've allowed an NFL high 17 deep receptions through 3 games. 46% of Gabriel Davis's targets this season have come on deep passes 15 or yards more down the field. They're actually allowing a 63% completion rate on deep passes. That's second highest in the NFL. That's a bunch of numbers that tell you what you already know if you watch any football, which is you can throw and throw deep on the Baltimore Ravens. And when Josh Allen throws deep, a lot of times he's looking for Gabriel Davis again. Almost half of his targets this year has come 15 or yards more down the field. I have Gabriel Davis as a top 20 play this week.
Yep, I like that. I do think that people are going to look into Josh Allen having 63 pass attempts and Gabe Davis only getting 6 targets, but at the same time, he played 96% of the snaps. Dolphins were selling out to stop the deep ball. That's why Devin Singletary got so many receptions. All right, some other guys receiving votes.
DeVonta Smith against the Jacksonville. Jags allowing the 7th highest yards per reception to opposing wide receiver. Team high, almost 29% target share over the last
2 weeks for Devontae Smith that wasn't just the last big game there. Tyler Lockett against Detroit. My expectation here is DK Metcalf is going to be shadowed by Jeff Okuda. So, by the way, Metcalf on the hate list, just a heads up there. But Okuda is one of the reasons why Justin Jefferson had such a... He's legit. He's one of the reasons why Jefferson had such a bad game last week. Lions do rank bottom 10 in receptions and yards allowed to opposing wide receivers. So with Okuda shutting down Metcalf, my expectation here is Lockett, who has 20 targets and 18 receptions over the last 2 weeks, is the beneficiary. I have him as a top 26 play. And the human Dortch, Greg Dortch. Are you ready to Dortch the competition? You ready to Dortch this house? Greg Dortch back this week. He's a top 21 wide receiver so far in the season, averaging 15.3 fantasy points per game, playing 56% of the snaps. I like him against the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, let's get to some height now. So Brandon Cooks.
Okay. I'll just mention David Njoku and Tyler Conklin, two tight ends if you're looking at streaming there. Conklin, by the way, has 24 targets through three games. I think people would be surprised to know that so far this year, Tyler Conklin is the third best tight end in fantasy. Yeah. And Njoku, I'm not expecting the kind of game he had against Pittsburgh, but the fact of the matter is he's playing a lot of snaps, running a lot of routes. Falcons bottom five in receptions, yards, and catch rate allowed to opposing tight ends.
Very interested to see how Conklin goes with Zach Wilson. Just new quarterback, new situation. We'll see if that can carry over. All right, Brandon Cooks on the hate list. Why do you hate Brandon Cooks?
Well, first off, there may be a J.C. Jackson shadow, so you don't love that. He's had a 44% catch rate this season. Davis Mills just has not looked good. Davis Mills is what some people call the Jay Croucher of NFL quarterbacks, just ruining an otherwise good thing. Much like you have ruined movies for our audience and beloved people out there, Davis Mills is ruining Brandon Cooks for fantasy managers. He's got a career low 5.5 yards per target. This is a guy who's one of the better deep threats in the NFL, and it's all just, near the line of scrimmage and stuff. No red zone targets this year, no end zone targets for Brandon Cooks. Tough matchup against the Chargers. I'm outside my top 25. Allen Robinson also makes the hate list here. Jay, I'm not going to let you talk because you might spoil something else. despite playing 93% of offensive snaps, Allen Robinson has a 12% target share. He's been targeting only 11% of his routes. Free Allen Robinson. Free Allen Robinson, Sean McVay. Free Allen Robinson, who, by the way, is very much alive at the end of this movie. But
We think he is.
But for whatever reason, they're just not looking his way. It's a tough matchup with the Niners as well. Top five in the NFL in fewest receptions and yards allowed to opposing wide receivers. So he's not getting a lot of looks. He's got a tough matchup with the Niners. Allen Robinson, unfortunately, makes the hate list. He's outside my top 40 for the week.
Hasn't had more than five targets in any game, Allen Robinson, yet. 29 years old. Last season wasn't too good. Not a good start this season either. Some concerns there. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, some quarterbacks, including, spoiler alert, a guy who is playing tonight. It's Joe Biden.
How hard is it to say spoiler alert? See, you just did it there. Like, that's not tough. Like, heads up. I'm about ready to ruin something for you. Tune away.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
How did you find out about the white helmet? Were you resulted in the decision, and what do you think about the white helmet?
I'd play in trash bags. I really don't care what we wear out there.
Gonna make you wear a trash bag on the show tomorrow. I want to do this right now, and I want to do this publicly. So our state manager Cam, 23 years old. Like it's his first job, right? Like it's like first out of college. He comes here to NBC.
It's gonna be good.
He does a great job. We love him here at NBC Sports. And he just tells us in the commercial break. He says, "I have never seen The Sixth Sense. I have never seen Fight Club, and now I never will." Those are two great movies. But our guy, Jay Croucher, has ruined that. So, I mean, I hope on behalf of him, and I'm sure there are many other young men and women out there watching the show, like Cam, that are like, oh, you know what, maybe I could, now I'm old enough to watch something like Fight Club, maybe with my father or something like that, maybe a bonding moment that I have with a family member or something like that, and now that's a joy that I won't experience it because the Grinch, Jay Croucher, has taken it away from me. So on behalf of all of us here at NBC Sports, and by all of us, I mean all of us except Jay Croucher, Cam, I apologize to you and to everyone like you that hasn't seen these movies and now never will experience the joy of those two movies because of this guy.
You can watch Fight Club as soon as you turn 7. Cam's had 16 years to watch the film Fight Club.
Yeah, but you know what he was doing? He was at school. He was studying. He was getting good so he could get to his dream job of working for NBC Sports. Because he can't just roll up off the street and get a job here. Like, guys like me are few and far between. Most people that get here are, like, smart and qualified. And so, like, he was studying hard. And now that he's finally got his dream job, he's like, you know, I'm going to kick back, relax. Let me pop on a little Netflix, maybe a little Peacock, see what I got going. Hey, look at that. There's Fight Club. I hear good things about that. Up, no. Because now I know the whole big reveal.
Because
of this guy.
About Tyler Durden. I got a question for you.
Yeah, what?
M. Night Shyamalan. You're going to go around introducing yourself. Hello, I'm M. Night.
Oh, what does he call himself?
Yeah. I'm M. Night.
I bet you it's like Night. I bet everyone calls him like Night. You know, okay. Like M, not M, or M. I don't feel like it's both. He's either M or he's Knight.
Okay.
Somebody who's a friend of M. Night Shyamalan, let me know. Please let us know.
Now,
but if you're a friend of M. Night Shyamalan and you also watch the show, do me a favor. Let us know, but don't let him know that we've just been, you know, killing it. I'm sure he's a lovely man. I've never met the guy. Like, I have nothing against him personally.
Probably.
I'm just not a fan of his art beyond the Sixth Sense.
He's a favorite in the market to be a lovely man. Also.
Sure.
A guy who definitely goes by
Joe Burrow. He probably
doesn't
ruin movies for people. Like, that's a guy that would, like, probably ruin...
Well, because his whole thing.
That's his whole thing. He's got a twist at the end, right?
Yeah.
That's his whole shtick. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Joe Burrow is on the love list. Why?
Well, he'll play in trash bags, for one. Also, just, like, we talked about this at the top of the show when we were talking about Tua Tagovailoa and everything like that. Miami now is going to be traveling on a short week. Their defense was on the field for 90 plays.
That's a lot of plays.
In week two.
Yeah.
On the field for 90 plays, and now they've got to travel on a short week to Cincinnati, where Joe Burrow, by the way, for all the struggles that he's had, he's still averaging over 41 pass attempts per game. He's still throwing a lot, got off the schneid last week fantasy-wise, and so this is a good matchup with the Dolphins' defense that has allowed the second most passing yards through 3 weeks. They're tied for the fourth most deep completions allowed. Xavier Howard is a really good corner, but takes some chances. And, you know, we saw Rashad Bateman, like, beat him bad earlier this season. And so Joe Burrow comes in at QB7 for me this week. He makes the love list here, as you see on your screen, in terms of yards allowed. Now, they only give up 213 passing yards to the Patriots, but that's the Patriots. 318 in the air to Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, and then 400 to Josh Allen and the Bills in week number three. 5 touchdowns allowed passing-wise over the last 2 weeks for the Miami Dolphins.
I like that. And the whole thing about the Dolphins is they blitz. They're a blitzing defense. Joe Burrow was the best quarterback in the NFL against the blitz last season. I like that matchup on the short week. All right. Bit more confused by this one. Russell Wilson, I know you're a big Broncos fan now.
Let's ride. My buckle's coming any day now. Let's ride.
So bad.
Yeah.
So Russell Wilson, he doesn't run. He hasn't been good so far. He's only got one wide receiver.
But he doesn't spoil movies.
He is also
a very nice guy. No, everyone loves Russell Wilson. Everyone loves Russell Wilson. Not everyone loves Jay Croucher. And I can say that with a definitive statement.
That's fair.
I'm in on Russell Wilson this week, and I get it, right? I mean, like, he has been bad. There's no question about it. Fantasy-wise, certainly, he's been brutal. He is QB 23 on the season, averaging 12.6 fantasy points per game. But I think the Raiders are, first off, I think the Raiders will be able to move the ball against Denver. So I think this is a game that should do well. It's an over-under, like 45.5, I believe, was the last line I saw on that. Raiders have allowed 260 passing yards every game so far this season. And that includes games against, like, Ryan Tannehill. Right, they are what helps a struggling quarterback. They've given up over 8 yards per pass attempt in two of the three games they've played so far this year. Sixth highest completion rate, two quarterbacks through 3 weeks. You can throw, and you can throw deep on the Las Vegas Raiders. They're actually dead last in sack rate. So Wilson should have a clean pocket here. And I think that you give enough time, hopefully Jerry Jeudy is back fully healthy in this one. Give enough time, he's going to pick apart the Raiders. I have him as a top 12 play this week.
Yep. Raiders, inexplicably, a 2.5-point favorite over the Denver Broncos. I don't understand that.
I did this as a parlay. I'm just going to tell you, right? Yep. Again, losing teams with winning records, getting points against teams with losing records. I like the Broncos plus 2.5, the Rams plus 2.5, and I was able to get the bet in with the Dolphins getting 3.5.
Yep.
So before
I like that
line,
I think your boy Joe Burrow might be the guy who disrupts that, though. Okay, Jared Goff on the love list as the quarterback of the sneakily elite offense in Detroit.
Yeah. By the way, Jared Goff is the 11th best quarterback in fantasy so far this year. Like, very, very viable. 7 touchdown passes through 3 games. He's averaging over 37 pass attempts per game. It is suddenly partially because of the defense and partially because Jared Goff's had a clean pocket and has been fine. But this is a guy that has been a viable fantasy quarterback through 3 weeks. They're actually, as an offense, the Lions are 3rd in yards per game. And it's a good matchup at home against the Seahawks, right? Seattle's allowing the most yards per pass attempt and the 4th most yards per play. So, again, this game is in Detroit. And, you know, the Seahawks are basically barely a top 20 pass defense. So give me Jared Goff as a streamer this week. He makes the love list. I'm as a top 12 play in week number 4. Quickly, want to run through a couple of guys on the others receiving votes, and that includes the guy that Jared Goff is facing, Marcus Mariota. I'm sorry. He's facing Geno Smith. He faced, or he will face Mariota in the future, I think. Anyway, Geno Smith. He's had 17 or more fantasy points and multiple touchdowns in 2 or 3 games so far this year. Lions have allowed the 8th most passing yards, so I do think Geno Smith is a viable streamer this week. I mentioned Marcus Mariota. He's also a streamer for me as well. Remember, 25 rushing attempts and 2 rushing touchdowns through 3 weeks. The rushing keeps Mariota's floor high. Falcons, for as much as we want to bag on the Falcons, I mean, I know you love your Falcons, right?
I love
right?
my Falcons.
Well, as much
my
as we
sweet,
want to...
dirty birds.
Sweet, dirty birds. Like, your Falcons have scored at least 23 points every game this year. I mean, in terms of just as an NFL. Like, they're putting points on the board. And so, you know, against Cleveland, it's not a great matchup, but they might be without Myles Garrett in this one.
It's not a terrible matchup. Cleveland's defense hasn't been great. They should be. They should be better, but we haven't seen it.
They've been middle of the pack here. So, Mariota... And then Zach Wilson.
No, no.
Right? Right? Quarterback for me, for you, for your mother's fantasy team.
Right? Waiting for it.
Like, the kind of quarterback that you can introduce to your mom's fantasy team. Zach Wilson is the fact of the matter is, again, we have yet to this. Here's a question for you, Mr. You know, you blow every, you know, you have no spoiler. Okay. Let me just say, all right. So you're in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You're in the kitchen with your boy, a buddy, like just like a friend.
Yeah.
And then Zach Wilson comes down for coffee.
Yeah.
And he gives you a wink.
Yeah.
He gives you a wink, a knowing wink, right? And then he leaves. Are you then turning to your buddy, because you love spoiling stuff for people, are you turning to your buddy and says, you know, like Zach Wilson and your mom.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You are.
Absolutely.
You're not keeping that to yourself.
No, minus 20,000, yes. Absolutely destroying my buddy's day. Now, you're destroying Trevor Lawrence's day.
All right. Anyway, we're in on Zach Wilson, by the way. I just, real quickly, because they're going to want to cut this for social, and they're not going to want a bunch of mom jokes. So I'll just say that the Jets, of all teams, the New York Jets, lead the NFL in pass attempts so far. And since the T.J. Watt injury, Pittsburgh is tied for 24th in terms of quarterback pressures. They've really struggled to get to the quarterback. So Wilson should have a clean pocket in a good matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep. Okay, let's quickly, the two guys on your hate list from the quarterback perspective, Trevor Lawrence and Carson Wentz.
Trevor Lawrence, he's going against Philadelphia. It's all matchup based. I'm a believer in Trevor Lawrence long term, both this season and long term. He's going to be a viable fantasy quarterback.
But the Eagles are top five in the NFL in yards per pass attempt, completion rate, passer rating against, yards per play. You see it there on your screen if you're watching on Peacock. They're second in sacks. They're third in QB pressures. This is just too good of a defense. I have Trevor Lawrence outside my top 15 for the week. And then you mentioned Carson Wentz of my beloved Washington Commanders. It's also a matchup thing. Again, there will be weeks this year where Carson Wentz is very viable for fantasy. It is going to be a pass-heavy offense. He's got nice weapons around him. But he took 9 sacks last week. He was pressured 23 times against Philadelphia in week number 2. Cowboys lead the NFL in sacks. They're second in quarterback pressures through 3 weeks. Dallas allowing under 14 fantasy points a game to opposing quarterbacks. And that includes games against Joe Burrow and Tom Brady. They're allowing touchdown passes at second lowest rate in the NFL. Carson Wentz on the hate list this week. You on the hate list always. We're back. And by we, I mean me in the next segment.
Christian Kirk receiving yards over on a 57.5.
Give me the over. He's gone over this total each of the last 2 games.
2.5 receptions for Travis Etienne.
We expect the Jags to be down and throwing. Etienne, give me the over on 2.5.
James Robinson, Jay, over under 53.5 rushing yards.
Yeah, no, I don't want to say over again, but I'm saying over again.
Matthew Stafford passing, over under 273.5.
Give me the under against the Cardinals.
Over under 3.5 receptions for Allen Robinson this week, Matthew.
This one I'll actually take the under.
Matthew, Cam Akers rushing yards, over under 36.5.
I'm going to go under on this one.
That backfield's a mess.
Really low.
Still a mess of a backfield. Oh.
I'm in. You know what? I'm in on the over.
Lamar Jackson passing and rushing yards, over under 274.5. Ravens 2.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over here.
Mac Jones passing yards, over under 243.5.
The over on Mac Jones.
Making people money. When we're not ruining movies, we're making people money. And by we, I really mean Jay Croucher. He's ruining movies. We're both making you money. Here's the most bet props provided by our friends at BetMGM. Tyreek Hill to score the first touchdown at plus 750. Anytime touchdown, minus 110. Over 72.5 receiving yards is minus 115 for Tyreek Hill. Anyway, that is for tonight's game, the Thursday night game. You like his odds at first touchdown or anytime touchdown scoring?
Not so much, no. Yeah. I do think he will devour Eli Apple, which he's going to look forward to, but that's not one of my best bets. My 2 favorite bets, so firstly, Ja'Marr Chase, under 73.5 receiving yards. He's gone well under the past 2 games. I think the league is adjusting to Ja'Marr Chase. Probably gets the Xavier Howard matchup, which is difficult. I think that Joe Burrow will be better in the short game, which is where the Dolphins have really struggled. Devin Singletary did whatever he wanted. Also like Joe Burrow over 35.5 pass attempts. What's your best bet?
I like Joe Mixon over 21.5 receiving yards. I'm with you on the short passing game. Remember, this is a guy with a 16% target share. He's gone over this number in 2 of 3 games this year. So give me the over on Joe Mixon, 21.5 receiving yards at BetMGM.
Love that.
This shirt is for Big Hickory, the Big Hickory restaurant in Bonita Springs, Florida. One of my favorite places. Stay safe and strong. We love all of you guys. Stay dry, Florida. We're praying for you. See you tomorrow.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.